Word of mouth.
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 This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. We've all seen those Depression-era pictures of hunger. WPA photographers made the now-famous black-and-white images of gaunt-faced Dust Bowl migrants, their barefoot kids in rags, that migrant mother staring off into the middle distance, brow knit in desperation. Hunger in America today is different. For one, it's called food insecurity. It's a reality for one in six Americans, and it's not so obvious, especially since it's linked to the nation's swelling obesity rate. Tracy McMillan is an author and investigative journalist who wrote What Does Hunger Look Like? It's a feature in National Geographic magazine. The article provides a close-up of the new face of hunger through several families who live with it, along with current data on food costs, availability, policy, and habits. Tracy McMillan, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thanks for having me.
Unlike during the Depression, many of today's food insecure are actually working. Tell us about one of those couples, Jim and Christine Dreyer.
Yeah, so Christina and Jim live in Mitchell County, Iowa. It's up on the northern border with Minnesota. And Jim, when I met him, was working applying pesticides for a commercial farm, making $14 an hour. They take care of three kids. And Christina finished high school, but she did the math. And, you know, as a high school graduate and nothing else, you know, going and getting a job would probably get her $7-8 an hour. And that wouldn't cover the cost of the daycare for their three kids. So she stays at home with them. And so they get some assistance from SNAP, from, you know, colloquially we think of that as food stamps. And what was really interesting when I spent time with her was to realize that for the Dreyer family, food is this constant worry for them, where they're constantly worried about how they're going to get enough food and enough healthy food to feed their kids. And for me, that was really striking, right? Even though I've covered poverty for a long time, I hadn't made that connection that, you know, part of the stress of being in the working poor in America is that you might actually run out of food.
What do they actually eat and how? You mentioned that they get SNAP assistance, but what and how do they actually eat?
Sure. So families like the Dreyers get by with a mix of SNAP and food bank. A lot of food banks let you come in once or twice a month, something like that. So in Mitchell County, you go once a month. And you know, like all food banks, they need to have food that is shelf stable and isn't going to go bad. So you have a lot of very salty, very sugary foods, right? Those are the preservatives that keep food from going bad over the long haul. Certainly food banks try to get in produce as much as they can, but it's very difficult, right, to sort of handle something that's going to go bad over time. And so for the Dreyers, their diet is based on the stuff they get from the food bank, and then it's supplemented with the fresh stuff they can get with SNAP. So there's a little bit of meat and cheese, a little bit of produce. You know, Christina told me that the start of the month is her favorite time to go to the grocery store because she has the SNAP, it hasn't run out yet, and she can get fruits and vegetables for her kids.
How much do they actually get in the form of SNAP assistance from the U.S. government for their family of five?
Right. So the Dreyers, when I met them, were getting, I think, about $175 a month. That fluctuates, as it does for most families, because it's based on your income. You know, maybe every 3 months, every 6 months, you know, the government comes in and checks and makes sure that you're getting the proper amount. And I know that, you know, for somebody like Jim, who works in a seasonal industry, you know, you get into the dead of winter, he's working far fewer hours than he is in November and October when harvest is going on. He is working overtime.
How do the Dreyers fit into the current numbers and trends of food insecurity inside the U.S.?
The Dreyers are very emblematic of a lot of the basic trends that we see with hunger in the U.S. They're white. More than half of folks who are food insecure in this country are white. They're working, which is the case for 75% of households who are food insecure. And that actually breaks down to about 59% have someone working full-time and another 15%, 16% are working part-time. They're also living in a rural area where there's quite a lot of food insecurity as well as urban. You know, I think we tend to think of hunger as either being Depression era, or if we modernize it, you know, it's maybe a single low-income man of color in line at a soup kitchen in, a dirty block in a city. And what I really saw in reporting this piece for National Geographic is that food insecurity is not marginal at all, right? It's absolutely part of the American mainstream.
It's an irony that you discovered so much in the heartland, where billions of bushels of corn and soy are produced every year. What is the connection there between the foods that are subsidized by the U.S. government and food insecurity?
Yeah, so right now we have a real disconnect between what we say our nutritional priorities are and what our agricultural priorities are. We spend probably about 8 times as much money subsidizing commodity crops, which includes corn, cotton, wheat, things like that. Corn is the top subsidy getter, as opposed to subsidizing fruits and vegetables. And yet, if you go and you look at the MyPlate recommendations, we're supposed to be getting half of our calories from fruits and vegetables and about a quarter from grain. So there's a real disconnect between what we say people should be eating and what kind of food we're making sure is available to everybody. I think that the government has a role to play in making sure that Americans can get healthy diets. But, we end up paying a lot of costs in terms of health, in terms of productivity, when we have a population that's not healthy.
We're talking about the new face of hunger with Tracy McMillan, whose article in National Geographic traveled to several cities and towns in the U.S. and introduced us to families living with hunger and the policy and the habits and the growing obesity among America's food insecure. This, Tracy, was a big topic of conversation when $5 billion was taken out of the SNAP, that's food stamps, Supplemental Nutritional Assistance Program, last fall. Now, what has that done to average family budgets and what they can spend on food from SNAP?
Right. So the SNAP cuts just mean that families have less money. I believe actually with the Dreyer family, they had been getting, I think it was about $225 a month, and that was cut by about $50 when those cuts went through. And that's when I met them. That makes a real difference in terms of what families are able to put on the table for their kids.
What would that break down to meal by meal? Did you work that out?
Meal by meal, I know that the average SNAP benefit in the country is about $1.35 to $1.50 per person per meal.
What can you buy for $1.50?
Well, if you think about what it costs to get fruits and vegetables at the market, you can get maybe, what is that, a third of a pound of tomatoes in season, right? They're about $3, $4 a pound. You could get a couple bags of potato chips if they're on sale. You could probably get several liters of soda. You could get, I would assume, about half a loaf of bread. So when you're dealing with, budgets that are this minuscule, right, when you're looking at trying to feed a family on $5 a meal, it really gears people's diets towards whatever is going to be cheap enough to buy in bulk. That means something that's not going to go bad. So that just keeps moving you further and further away from the fruits and vegetables we know folks should be eating.
I'm going to go back to that debate about SNAP, because I remember hearing or reading a lot of arguments about if people can afford cars, if they can afford cell phones, if they can afford flat screen TVs, can't they afford to feed their family? What did you find about this population of people who look as if they have everything but are still food insecure?
Right. So something that we tend to gloss over when we look at the fact that, a low-income family might have a nice-looking outfit on or they might have a car is that the cost of a car is something that you can't get around if you want to have a job, right? And you've got to have decent clothing if you want to go to work. So if we want families to be working, right, those are things that they kind of need to have. Food is really interesting because it's one of the few expenditures that is very flexible, right? So if you are living on a very tight budget, you can't do anything about the cost of gas and having to get to your job. You can't do very much at all about the cost of your car. You can't do too much about the cost of your house, but you can budget on food and you can go and get help with that somewhere else. And that's what we see people doing.
I wonder also if, because people have cars, what do you call them, the SUV poor? I'm trying to remember in the article, the SUV poor. They look as if they have everything, that there's a little less empathy for them. They don't look like the Dust Bowl farmers. And maybe there's a little less willingness to support SNAP or other programs that might help people who are hungry.
Yeah, there is definitely much less empathy for families that still have some of the trappings of a middle-class lifestyle. With the Great Recession, what we saw was a lot of families that had been living middle-class lives. So they had a house with a mortgage. They had a car. And what happens is they lose their job. And then they're trying to make ends meet and they're thinking of this as a temporary problem. And so you don't immediately sell the house. You don't immediately get rid of the car. You don't immediately pull the kids out of all their after school activities. You start budgeting as best you can. And that often leads people into the food bank.
Well, Tracy, a fascinating article and certainly eye-opening. Thank you very much for speaking with us today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Tracy McMillan, author of The American Way of Eating and a senior fellow at the Schuster Institute for Investigative Journalism at Brandeis University. She also wrote the article, The New Face of Hunger, for National Geographic magazine. You'll find a link to read the article and see photographs of some of the families that she talked about on our website, wordofmouthradio.org.